know, your ass better call somebody.
It's me. That KEV rolling with Matty D.
Let's go.
Let's make some noise up at this biatch. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, DFS DJ Nation proudly brings to you the DFS Tag Team Champions of the World! The Contrarian King, Kev, and Matty D.
Let's go.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Suck it.
Suck it.
I can't believe I just did that.
Let's go. Anyways, that was awesome.
This is the DFS DJ Nation rocking with you again. We are on to week 13.
God, I can't believe it.
I know. Where has the season gone? Anyways.
In the toilet for me, for the most part.
I don't know about you guys, but week 12 was a little rough in these streets. But we are a forward-thinking podcast, and we are moving forward with week 13, which what I think is a super interesting week. A lot of great running back plays this week. I think some good wide receiver plays. And I think some interesting quarterback plays. So, Matty, how we living?
We're doing good, man. Thanksgiving was great over here, minus the heartbreaking Cowboys loss on Thursday last week in a tough game against the Raiders at home. Enjoying the Cowboys game right now. Got it on in the background. So, you know, if you say something to me and you know, I don't immediately respond, just throw something at me and get my attention that way. But no, I'm ready for another week. I finally got on, you know, got off a little bit of a cold streak that we had going, like you mentioned, but forward thinking on to the next week here. We usually spend a lot of time at the quarterback wide receiver position, but I think this week we may spend majority of our time at running back.
Yeah. I believe so. And Alexis Rock with us in the chat. I put a bet in on CeeDee Lamb over yards, receptions, both cash. Let's go. That's a way to start out the week.
That is a good way to start out.
A little green in the pocket, Alexis. So, but let's just do it. Let's just jump right in. Let's jump right into the quarterback position. I think this could be a little bit more straightforward. So, Lamar Jackson rocking things off with 7,800. Kyler Murray sounds like he is going to be back this week at 7,500. Matthew Stafford at 7,300. Tom Brady at 7,200. Jalen Hurts, who is questionable, at 7K. Justin Herbert, 6,700. Kirk Cousins, 6,500. Russell Wilson at 6,400. Joey Burrow at 6,300. Carson Wentz at 6,100. And Derek Carr at 6K. Matty, where are we starting?
Yeah, so we briefly touched on this right before we came on air. And there's only five games this week that have a total over 46. And I very, very rarely, you know, load up passing stacks that have totals under, you know, that 45, 46 threshold. It takes efficiency to get there. It's usually slower paced games that, you know, you're looking for some sort of outlier to happen. But Vegas knows more than I do for all various reasons. And you know, Vegas totals are the highest correlated factor we have for predicting fantasy production at the quarterback position. So, you know, starting with these high total games is the way to go. We got five of them this week above that 46 threshold. First one's Atlanta and Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is favored by 11, 50 and a half total, highest total of the week, tied with Cincy and the Chargers. We've said it all year long that, you know, you can absolutely play Tom Brady. And you don't need to stack up anybody on the other side. And I think people may be a little concerned to play Brady here after playing him two straight weeks or three straight weeks, whatever it's been. That Bucs passing attack has not been great. I mean, they lost, you know, two games in a row. And then they came out last week and Leonard Fournette with everybody on Gronk and Chris Godwin and Mike Evans and those guys. Fournette broke the slate with four touchdowns and scored almost 50 DraftKings points. So, definitely a good week to go back to the Tampa Bay well against Atlanta. Brady has shredded Atlanta in his career as well, so definitely like them. The two games that, you know, if you're going to stack up a game, like I said, you don't need to run back anybody on the Atlanta side because Tampa will throw the ball the entire game, pretty much, whether they're winning by 30 or not. So the two games that I do like from a competitive perspective, and Vegas agrees, and that's the Bengals and Chargers. That's a 50.5 total, so tied with the Tampa Bay total, only a three-point spread. And then Washington and Vegas, 49.5 total, two-point spread. So, you know, you've got some cheap QBs in that Washington Vegas game. You've got Carr at 6K. You've got Heineke at 5,600. And the Heineke one is interesting, especially with McKissick being out, because then a lot of the passing production can funnel, you know, a little bit more down the field than, you know, just dumping off. And I know, you know, Gibson will soak up some of that McKissick work. But, you know, I think there may not be as many design screens and things like that to the running back. So may make sense to, you know, get more Logan Thomas and Terry McLaurin exposure with Heineke. And that's a very, very cheap stack this week. So, and yeah, we've talked about Washington on the other side of the ball, you know, their defense. All year, they're a pass funnel. They're good against the run. So Derek Carr, we just saw him shred Dallas on Thanksgiving. He's, you know, only 6K in a great spot here. So I really like Brady, 7,200 against Atlanta. I really like Derek Carr at 6K. I really like Heineke at 5,600. And then somebody that I think is going to be a leverage play that may go overlooked, and that's Kirk Cousins against Detroit, because I think everybody is going to play Alexander Mattison despite his $7,500 price tag. Because if you look at, you know, just the volume of work that he's gotten, I mean, he's gotten over 30 touches both times that he started this year. So, I mean, his volume and matchup are pretty much among the top two to three safest on the slate, and his price isn't absolutely ridiculous either. So, with everybody playing that, you know, Kirk Cousins to Jefferson and Thielen, or Cousins to one of those guys in Conklin, is very, very interesting as a leverage play. And we've seen, you know, popular running backs just bust in these very popular spots multiple times this year. And I mean, it pains me to say it, but the most recent one is CMC just last week. So, and that can't even be chalked up to injury, because he was healthy the first half. And he only scored 3 points in the first half. So it's just gotten – NFL has gotten to the point this year where if the field thinks they know something is going to be a slam dunk, chances are it's not going to work out that way. I mean, we talked about Tampa Bay passing attack last week, and it was the Leonard Fournette show. We talked about CMC is going to crush his 9K price tag, and the Panthers just pretty much didn't even show up. You know, Cooper Kupp in the highest total games of the week, you know, he's pretty much a lock for 25 points every single week, and he gets less than 20. It's just, you know, when you think you know something this year in fantasy, you know, odds are that there is good leverage to be had. And I think this Detroit-Minnesota situation with, you know, Dalvin Cook being out and DeAndre Swift, even on the other side, makes a very easy run back with Swift being out, you know, Jamal Williams being the very easy play. So I really like the Kirk Cousins stack this week, too.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting one, too. I mean, because I think that it's possible that we see Detroit keep that game close, because Detroit's defense has not been good this year, and they have really let them down and allow teams to stay in games or get leads in games to really push them. And so if that happens in this game against Minnesota, then we very well could see Kirk Cousins really have to throw the ball a lot.
And I actually saw a stat. I can't remember who posted it this week because I follow so many guys in the industry, but somebody posted that Minnesota doesn't have a cornerback rated in the top 80 PFF grade in pass coverage.
That sounds
their corners have been horrible.
Yeah. So, yeah, I agree. Walido, thank you, as always, with the super chat. What's up? I hope you're doing well. Let's hopefully have a better week than last week.
We need to get Walido on for a show at some point.
He struggled with the player props. So. What'd you say?
I said we need to get Walido on for a show at some point.
Yeah, we should do that. We get him on for one of the shows before the season closes out with the boys.
Since he's always hanging out and chatting and throwing out good ideas and suggestions and hitting us with super chats, I think we should get him on.
Walido, hit me on the DMs in the Discord. Which, speaking of our Discord, If you're not already, you can be signed up for absolutely free. I'll leave the link in the description if you're listening to this on podcast to join our absolutely free Discord. We got DFS in there. We got Redraft, Dynasty, Debbie, whatever you're into, player props. So it's always a happening place. So if you want to, if you're listening to this on the podcast or, through YouTube, link is in the description below. And we'd love to see everybody over there. So for me at quarterback this week, it's going to be kind of straight and narrow. Some of the players you've already talked about, Tom Brady, 7,200. He's averaging 309 passing yards and almost three touchdowns passes per game. We also have the Bucs are second in pass plays per game. Brady also ranks first in red zone attempts, third in deep ball attempts, and first in air yards on the season. As you've already mentioned, this is the highest implied point total on the slate with 30.75. Falcons ranked 26th against quarterbacks and ranked 30th in adjusted sack rate on the season. So this is an absolute smash spot. We saw him play them earlier in the year. He didn't hit the 300 mark. He threw for 278, but threw for five touchdowns.
Yep.
Very much in play. Again, this week, I think it's a good matchup to get this passing attack back on track. And then for me, the next one, I think is going to be Justin Herbert at 6,700. Justin Herbert's been very Jekyll and Hyde this year, where he has monster performances in him. I mean, he can break the slate every time he's on the field. He has 40-point upside. He also has shown the ability to use his legs. He's seventh in rushing yards and third in red zone carries on the season. But he's also third in pass plays per game, so a high-volume passer. Sixth in red zone attempts, sixth in yards, and ninth in fantasy points per dropback on the year. He's also sixth in deep ball completion percentage. Now, this is a Cincy game that I think that we know Cincinnati is a little bit more slow paced, where the Chargers are faster paced, right? And so I think depending on how this game turns out, I think this game could very well be a shootout. And where Cincinnati doesn't really want to throw the ball, I think they're like 24th or 25th in pass plays per game. If you let them, they will run the ball all day. So Cincinnati, though, I will say this. So when you just look at the raw numbers, they're 26th on the season versus quarterbacks and DK points allowed on the season. But over the last 5 weeks, they are ranked 12th in fantasy points allowed, and they've allowed the second most passing yards per game over that stretch as well. So we're starting to see some breaks in that pass defense. So I like Justin Herbert quite a bit at 6,700. And I don't think he's going to be as highly owned as he probably should be. I can see people go to Joe Burrow before they go to Herbert. And, I think people are going to want to get to Lamar Jackson, who's the highest price on the slate, going against a Pittsburgh defense that is really banged up, that just got absolutely shredded on the ground by the Bengals the week prior. So I like Justin Herbert quite a bit. He has a really high ceiling. And then the other guy you've already talked about, Derek Carr, absolutely love him at 6K. He has a pretty decent implied point total as well, 25.75. He's averaging 270 passing yards and almost two touchdowns per game and 20.3 DK points per game at home this season. The Raiders also rank ninth in pass plays per game, seventh in red zone attempts, first in deep ball attempts, which is just wild, wild to me that Derek Carr, because normally that's never been him. He's always been a quarterback that is very adverse. Where he does not like to throw the ball deep. He would always just throw it, check it down, captain check down, but he has not been that this year. First in deep balls, seventh in deep ball completion percentage, and he's fifth in air yards and fifth in yards per attempt. So we've seen that kind of change. Now, one interesting fact of this game, though, is going to be Darren Waller, because it doesn't sound like Darren Waller is going to play. And I don't know what that does to this offense, because they're already missing some other pieces in this offense. But regardless, I still think that this is the way you beat Washington, is through the air. Washington allows the most DK points to quarterbacks, and it's not even really close. The next closest to them is a full 3 DK points per week lower than them. They've just been abysmal against quarterbacks this year. Over the last five games, they also ranked 26th, so it hasn't really gotten any better, and 8th most passing yards they are tied for the most touchdowns allowed this year to quarterbacks. So just a great spot for Derek Carr. So I love all three of those quarterbacks. There's going to be the three main guys that I go to. In terms of paying down, I don't mind going over the other side with Taylor Heinicke. He's shown the ability to have some sort of upside. He also uses his legs. He is cheaper at 5,600, so I don't mind that call. And I think Tyrod Taylor is interesting against Indy. We've seen Indy really struggle this year against the pass. They've been terrible against the pass. And we've seen quarterbacks like Josh Johnson come in and just throw for 300-plus yards, and multiple touchdowns in less than a four quarters. So this defense could definitely be had. And I think Tyrod makes a little bit of sense if you want to get a little bit different down at 5,300. So I don't mind that call either if people want to go there and really pay down at quarterback, because there's some really good pay-up running backs this week. The only other one I would mention, I do think that Tua is also interesting at 5,500. He has shown the ability, especially against bad defenses, to really be able to rip them apart. I mean, we've seen games against Jacksonville, Atlanta this year, where he put up 25 and 28. And at 5,500, if he can hit something like that, I think then we're in business. And I think it's pretty narrow where he's going to throw the ball. We'll have to see if Devontae Parker will be back this week. Devontae Parker is supposed to practice this week. But if he doesn't, you know, him and Jalen Waddle are just have this excellent chemistry going on, great connection. And so it's a pretty narrow where the targets go. So it makes it a pretty easy stack to get to. I don't think I would run anything back, though. There's not nothing on the Giants side that really stands out to me. But I do think Tua this week is an interesting call, especially against the Giants. The Giants' defense has not been very good. James Bradbury's not the same corner that he used to be. And so this is a very vulnerable defense. And so, you know, if this game can stay a little bit close, at first it was looking like Daniel Jones wasn't going to play, but now it's sounding like he may actually play. Because he actually had practice today in a limited capacity. So we'll have to see what happens here with Daniel Jones. Because if not, we could be seeing Mike old long neck Glennon, who once upon a time, Ryan Williams called out as a preseason sleeper when he was with the Bears. I'll never let him live that down.
That's funny.
Other than that, you know, I would love to play Jimmy Garoppolo. I played him last week, but if they can run the ball, they're going to run the ball. So yep. They have the weapons. It doesn't sound like Debo Samuel's going to play, but they still have George Kittle and Brandon Ayuk. There's enough there, but it's just tough to get to Jimmy Garoppolo because they're just a team that doesn't really want to throw the ball that much. So unless all of a sudden the Seahawks offense can step up, and really push the pace here and put and force them to open this offense up and throw the ball a lot, it's just tough to get to Jimmy Garoppolo. So those are kind of the quarterbacks. So obviously, I think, you know, if you want to play Matt Stafford in a game, they have to get their passing attack back on track because they really have been struggling. It is against Jacksonville. Jacksonville, you beat them through the air. They have been much better against the ground. But those are kind of where I would go. But the main three that I'm going to be, my core is going to be built around Justin Herbert, Brady, and Derek Carr. Do you have any other quarterbacks you want to hit on?
No, I like that. You pretty much echo everything that I'm thinking this week. I mean, I'm only going to have one team probably, so it's going to be tough for me to narrow it down to which QB I'm going to end up going with. But, you know, Brady, Herbert, Cousins, and Carr, and maybe Heinicke, depending on if I need the salary, is going to be, you know, my very short list of QBs. That's where I'm going to end up with one of those five.
Yeah. Okay. So then let's just go over and jump over to the running backs. Like we already said, this is probably going to be the most discussed because I think this is where you're going to have to get things right to win because there are so many great plays. And like we talked about at the beginning, Jonathan Taylor is 9,200 against Houston. Austin Eckler, 8,300 against Cincinnati. Joe Mixon on the other side of that game at 8,100. Najee Harris, 7,700. Alexander Mattison at 7,600. Leonard Fournette coming off the monster performance he just had at 7,300. Cordarrelle Patterson, who continues to produce at 7K. If you would have told me at the beginning of the year that Cordarrelle Patterson would be playing as well as he has and he was going to be 7K, I would laugh at you. But here we are. Saquon Barkley, 6,300. DeAndre Swift, 6,600, but he sounds very questionable. James Robinson, 6,200. He sounds questionable. Daryl Henderson is also questionable at 6,100. Josh Jacobs at 6K. And Elijah Mitchell, who is still too damn cheap at 6K. I don't know what the man has to do to get priced up higher than this, but here we are. And we also, I guess, I'm going to go a little bit deeper because there's some really excellent plays a little bit further than this too. So you have James Conner at 5,900, Miles Gaskin, who I think is an excellent play at 5,800 against the Giants, 5,700 Antonio Gibson with J.D. McKissick. Doesn't sound like he's going to play. He has not practiced yet this week. And he's still in concussion protocol, so he has not progressed at all. We're already past Thursday, so it's not sounding like J.D. McKissick's going to play. So Antonio Gibson at 5,700, you know, in this matchup against the Raiders is super enticing. DeAndre Swift, he doesn't play. Now we have Jamal Williams, who's only 5,400 against one of the league's worst run defenses. Miles Sanders with Jordan Howard and Boston Scott sounding very unlikely to play at 5,200. So, Maddie, let's just get into this because we got a lot to talk about here at the running back position. Let's start at the top, at the really top guys, right? And I know there's something you said you want to talk about, especially these guys that are 9,200. I will say this, that when you have a running back that is, it's kind of like CMC a little bit here, where there's such a discrepancy between him and the next guy. It's almost $1,000 difference between him and Austin Eckler, that this man has to smash to kill you.
And yeah, it's
so.
Yeah,
I mean, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, just talking about, you know, the 9K salary in general. I mean, you think about your lineup as a whole, right? You get $50,000 to allocate, and your goal for taking down tourneys is you're shooting for over 200 points, right? Pretty much. So, I mean, you basically need over 4x your salary to have a shot at taking down tourneys. Obviously, you're gonna have some guys that crush that. But I mean, pretty much across the board, you're looking for 4X. And you know, when we had Le'Veon Bell and when we had David Johnson and those guys that were 10K and we just hashtag team jam them in, that's because those guys were seeing, you know, 10 targets every single week to go with their 20 something rush attempts. And they were seeing, you know, north of 30 touches every week. And most of them were coming through the pass game. And yes, Jonathan Taylor has been involved in the pass game, but he needs to get you 36 points for him to pay off that salary. And you know, even if he gets the 36 points, like, yes, you probably have to have that. But I mean, he's also not killing you if you don't have it. Because he costs so much, right? It's like, he scored 31 against Houston when they played them the first time. And if he gets me 31 at 9,200, I'm happy, but he's probably not even optimal because he costs so much. So it's just a very paying 9K, man. It's, you really need 40 point upside, which we were seeing, you know, 35 point floors out of those guys, Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson, those, you know, back when they were crushing every single week, and CMC himself as well. Before he went on this, you know, path of just being hurt every game last year and this year. But I don't know that I put Jonathan Taylor into that bucket as those guys, because, you know, 5, 3, 2, 4, 3, 2, 4, 3 targets are like his target counts per game. And those other guys, you know, when we pay almost 10K for them, you know, those guys are seeing, you know, 10 plus targets at the running back position. So I'm probably going to be out on Jonathan Taylor, especially because he's currently checking in at almost 30% owned, which is by far the highest owned running back on the slate. And when you pay $9,200 for the highest owned running back on the slate, you're locking yourself. I mean, and I know, Kev, you talk about this on Showdown. When you pay, you know, that top salary for, you know, a specific player, you lock yourself into a specific type of build. And, you know, you pay up for Jonathan Taylor, 9,200. You know, most people are then going to pay down at QB, and you lock yourself into a build that way. You know, I don't know if, you know, how many people can have a good Tom Brady team that they like paying up for Brady that also has Jonathan Taylor on it, because, you know, you've got to pay for Gronk and you got to pay for Chris Godwin and all those guys. So I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see the builds and, I think the chalk build this week is going to be pay up for one running back and pay down for the other, because there's so many things, you know, that you rambled off when you were introducing the position. I didn't even catch if you mentioned Daryl Henderson not even practicing this week so far. So we may get Sonny Michel at what, 4,900? What is he? He's cheaper than that, isn't he? Yeah, Sonny Michel's 4,300. And he's pretty much a lock at that price, right? If Henderson's out, because I mean, we've seen it already this year. He played 95% of the snaps when Henderson missed. That was what, in week 3 against Tampa Bay, he had 20 carries for 67 yards and saw 4 targets. So you're getting 25 opportunities there for 4,300. I think you absolutely have to play that. And if Henderson's out, Sonny Michel will be where I start every single team. Would be where I start every single team. I'm only playing one team, so definitely going to have him. You know, you briefly touched on Eckler and Joe Mixon, obviously in two really, really good spots. Cincinnati gives up a ton of production to pass-catching running backs, so Eckler's in a great spot there. And then Joe Mixon on the other side, the Chargers are one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. So both of those guys definitely in play and make it even more of a reason to not have to play Jonathan Taylor. Dalvin Cook likely going to miss this game. So Alexander Mattison, in the you know, games that we've seen Dalvin Cook miss, week three, Mattison had 26 carries and 8 targets for 34 opportunities. And in week five against Detroit, 25 carries, 7 targets for 32 opportunities. So you're going to get a guy who's going to see north of 30 opportunities, and he's only 7,500 against Detroit. It's going to be another guy that's going to be really hard to not play, and is even more of a reason to not play Jonathan Taylor at $9,200. So I really like Alexander Mattison, assuming Dalvin Cook is out. DeAndre Swift is likely going to miss this game. So you get, you know, Jonathan Williams at 5,400 in a full, you know, full complement role. We saw him last week, you know, 15 carries and 5 targets in a game that Swift played most of the first half. To the only 5,400 for that kind of workload. You've got Antonio Gibson, who could see a spike in targets with McKissick out. Elijah Mitchell, we just a big reason, you know, I liked McKissick in the showdown slate against Seattle is because Seattle gives up the league most passes to the running back position. So Elijah Mitchell, we've seen in his last three games, you know, 5, 0, and 6 targets, and facing a Seattle defense that's been funneling targets to the running back position, and Elijah Mitchell is still getting 27 carries. I really like him at 6K a lot. So this is a very, very loaded running back position this week, and I would just stay away from the chalk. Absolutely would stay away from the chalk and just build a different team, because there's so many different running backs that can break the slate this week with high ceiling floor combos.
Yeah, I mean, I think that just looking at the top and talking about some of these running backs where you have over, you know, there's not a big difference between Jonathan Taylor and Joe Mixon, right? Like, but there's $1,100 price difference, where Jonathan Taylor on the season, he's actually only 13th in snap share and 13th in opportunity share. Now, some of that, you know, came earlier in the year where he wasn't being utilized as much. That he's getting there a lot because of touchdowns and efficiency, for sure, right? But he's not being utilized as much as a pass catcher. He still is 11th in targets, and he's got a 11% target share, which is still pretty strong, right? But then we have Joe Mixon, who is 9th in snap share, 7th in opportunity share, 13 touchdowns on the season. And over the last, you know, really 5 of the last 6 weeks, I mean, he put up 25, 28, 24, and 32 over the last 4 weeks of the season. And he's $1,100 cheaper in a matchup against the Chargers. The Chargers rank 32nd in run DVOA on the season. They've just been terrible against the run this year. And so they're also 30th in adjusted line yards. They're 27th in stuff ranked, 28th in open field. You know, I mean, this is the defense that we want to target on the ground. And so Joe Mixon is in a fantastic spot. And I would be willing to bet that he's not going to have the same type of ownership that Jonathan Taylor is going to have against Houston. And I just think that's a mistake. And it's $1,100 cheaper, and he just shouldn't be that far off from Jonathan Taylor. Don't get me wrong. Jonathan Taylor has been a monster this year. So this isn't me knocking Jonathan Taylor. It's just in terms of price savings, being able to save that extra $1,100 to Joe Mixon, to Jonathan Taylor, I'll take that all day. The other running backs that you mentioned, I think Leonard Fournette is also very interesting at 7,300. He has touched the ball a lot this year, a lot more than I think people would have expected. And what makes him so much more interesting is the fact how much he's being utilized in the passing game. But he's starting to really just really take over this running back room completely, because he's getting 65% of the opportunity share, but he's 4th in targets and a 13% target share on the season. And now I'm not expecting this 4 touchdown monster performance that he had last week, but he's getting at least 5 targets in just about every single game that he sees this year. And he's getting more and more carries. Really, I mean, if you go back to the earlier part of the year, but since really week 4, 20, 12, 22, 15, 8, 11, 10, and 17 in terms of carries. So he's being utilized just as much. And this is a great spot against Atlanta. So I think he is actually decent leverage off of Alexander Mattison, who is more expensive than he is. Don't get me wrong, Alexander Mattison's in a great spot. We've seen this show already once with Alexander Mattison, right? where he just obliterated that team. That's one of the best performances he's had all year, where he scored 30 DK points, the most he scored all year. He had 113 rushing yards in that game, 48 receiving yards, and he scored. But I think there's ways that this doesn't go their way. Like I said, I mean, if the Lions could push this game, which is something we've seen, the Lions have not. Every week, you see the Lions on a slate, and everyone's like, oh, I want to target the Lions. The Lions have played pretty well, considering. I mean, every game has been really close. They have done a really good job of keeping most games close. And if they can do that, and if they can even get some sort of a lead, which is entirely possible, then I think that's where you can see some of this change. And Alexander Mattison is 100% going to carry heavy ownership. So I like Leonard Fournette. And I'm not chasing what happened last week. I just think with all the opportunities that he sees, it's going to be really hard for him at 7,300 not to get there. But then, you know, you go down, Elijah Mitchell, 100% in play. He's 6K, like we've already talked about, smash play, right? But James Conner is in a great spot. Only 5,900. He's coming off the bye. People forget what he did the last week of before they went on bye, where he had one of his best weeks of the season, where he had 21 carries, 6 targets. Chase Edmonds is still out. And so he's going to be the guy with Kyler Murray back, which should absolutely help him get more goal line opportunities, more red zone opportunities. And he's only $5,900. And he smashed in between guys like Elijah Mitchell, where people are going to want to play more, and Antonio Gibson, who people are going to want to play more. And I think James Conner makes a lot of sense. And then the other guy is Myles Gaskin. Myles Gaskin has touched the ball a ton over the last few weeks. And I love him this week. I think he is in a great spot this week. And some of his numbers really surprised me whenever I was looking at him, because Myles Gaskin is top in terms of, he is top 8 in red zone touches, and he's top 5 in goal line carries. And he's just getting all the work. Since Malcolm Brown went out with injury, he has just been touching the ball. Plus, he's their pass catcher. So Myles Gaskin is too cheap as well at 5,800, and the Giants are not very good against the run either. So if you're paying down, I like getting to Myles Gaskin. Myles Gaskin is not going to carry the ownership that he should, especially with all these other running backs that are here. And then Miles Sanders is going to be the guy that absolutely nobody plays, because everybody was on him last week. I felt like the whole industry was on Miles Sanders last week, right? He was cheap. He was about the same price he was. Fantastic matchup. Everybody played Miles Sanders, and Miles Sanders did nothing. But this is an even better matchup, because the Jets have truly been terrible against the run this year. They are 31st in DVOA against the run on the season, and they have just been absolutely gashed on the ground. But like I said, Jordan Howard sounds like he's not going to play. Boston Scott sounds like he's not going to play. So it's going to be him and really Kenny Gainwell. And they've shown no interest in wanting to play Kenny Gainwell. And it's actually surprising, because, you know, he left in the second half of the game with an injury, I guess. But he's already back practicing in full, Miles Sanders is. He's only 5,200. And there's a little bit of risk there. I wouldn't load up, but I definitely want some exposure to Miles Sanders, who's only 5,200. He's cheaper than all these guys. And we've seen how run heavy the Eagles want to be. And you also have Jalen Hurts, who's a little bit banged up. And so in reality, to me, I just think Miles Sanders is going to be excellent leverage as well off a lot of these other running backs people are going to want to pay down for. And then past that, I guess you still have the cheap running backs, you know, that, like you mentioned with Sony Michel. And I will say this, that play makes me a little bit nervous, because Jacksonville has, that's been their strength, is against the run. They have slipped a little bit as of recent.
My counter argument is the start Michelle had with Henderson out was against Tampa Bay, and he still got 20 carries and 4 targets. So
he's going to get the work.
Yeah, 24 opportunities at 4,300. I'm just going to play that.
Sorry. Yeah. No, I don't mind it either, but I will say, because I'm going to be – that's going to be another spot where I'm really curious where that ownership is going to come in at. Because at 4,300, I get it. I get the play, and I get it's against Jacksonville, but I think it's also going to be chalk, because everyone's going to be like, okay, I'll just pay up for Jonathan Taylor.
Yep.
And then I'm going to pay down for Sony Michel at 4,300.
Yep.
And that's what everybody's going to do. Which, like I said, I don't hate the play, but it just – Jacksonville, like I said, has been a team that's been really good for the long time this season. They were top 10 in run DVOA. They have slipped a little bit. They're down to 14th now. And over the last 5 weeks, they are, I think, 15th in rushing yards allowed per game. So they've fallen off a little bit there. But I'm also somebody that if Sony Michel is going to be like 35-40% owned, I'm going to come in well under that. I probably won't full fade it, but if he's going to carry heavy ownership, I'll probably just go in a different direction.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I mean, we've talked about so many different running backs that you can play that are in great spots and have high ceilings, but especially in small field stuff, I'll be different elsewhere, and I'll just play Sony Michel at that price tag.
Yeah. So, anyways, those are kind of the running backs that I'm at. I know I mentioned a lot of them. I guess to kind of clarify, I don't mind playing Jonte, but if I'm paying up, I'm going to Joe Mixon. I'm going to have Leonard Fournette. And then in this mid-tier range of running backs, absolutely love Elijah Mitchell. Can't, you know, state that enough. But then I think to get different, James Conner and Miles Gaskin are definitely going to be two guys that I'm on. I will, you know, have some that's Antonio Gibson, and I'll have some Miles Sanders. And I know those are a lot of running backs, but I also play a lot more lineups than you, and I'm sure you will be much more condensed than that.
Yeah, so. No, I think we're pretty much on the same page for the most part.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right. So do you want to jump over to wide receivers then?
Yeah, I'm good. Let's move to wide receiver.
All right. So Cooper Kupp has come down in price, but he's still 9K. He was 9,600 last week.
No, thanks. I'm out.
So you have Deebo Samuel, who's truly doubtful with a groin injury. He's 8,300. Justin Jefferson's 8,200. Keenan Allen's at 7,500. Terry McLaurin at 7,400. Adam Thielen at 7,300, Jamar Chase at 7K, Deontay Johnson at 6,800, Mike Evans at 6,700, DK Metcalf at 6,700, Chris Godwin at 6,600, Marquise Brown at 65, you have Tyler Lockett at 65, Jalen Waddle finally starting to be moved up a little bit, should be higher than this, but regardless, he's 6,400, DeAndre Hopkins at 6,200, we're going to talk about that because it sounds like he is supposed to be back this week. Devonta Smith at 6,100, Chase Claypool at 6K, and Walido's boy at 5,900, Brandon Cooks. So you already said you're out on Cooper Kupp. So what are you on?
Assuming Deebo is out, I think I'm going to start my team with Brandon Ayuk. In the games that Deebo missed last year and Ayuk played, Ayuk had 10, 14, 13, and then two targets. In the game he had two, he got hurt. So he literally saw double-digit targets in every full game he played when Deebo was out last year. And that's pretty much – that offense all of a sudden gets really condensed, right, with no Deebo. It's Elijah Mitchell, George Kittle, and Brandon Ayuk. That's pretty much all they have. And that, you know, that matchup against Seattle – I mean, teams have scored points against Seattle. It's not a tough matchup at all. And at some point, right, Russell Wilson's going to figure it out on the other side. And if Seattle does put up points in any sort of fashion and forces San Francisco to have to throw the ball even a little bit, you know, Ayuk has a 10 target. You know, you feel good about projecting him for almost 10 targets in this game. So at only 5,600, I think, you know, we've finally seen him come around in the last few weeks. He's seen 7, 8, 4, 7, and 6 targets. And now with Deebo, that was with Deebo playing. And now with Deebo out, you know, I really like him here in this game. So he's going to be one of my focuses, even though he's a little bit cheaper. We've talked about, you know, how much we love Tampa Bay, and I'm just going to continue playing Chris Godwin in games when Antonio Brown doesn't play. He's been Tom Brady's main guy when AB sits. And, you know, last week we didn't see that, but this game against Atlanta shouldn't be an issue for Godwin to get going again. You know, we've seen him have big games. He had 28 and 31 in weeks 7 and 8. I think we can see him get back to that 30-point threshold here. You know, going for over 100 yards and scoring a touchdown isn't, and having over 10 targets is not out of the realm of possibility. And he's only 6,600. His price dropped from last week when he was over 7K. So I think Godwin is too cheap against Atlanta. He's probably going to be popular, but I don't really care because I'm not going to have the popular build of playing Cooper Kupp and or Jonathan Taylor because Cooper Kupp is checking in. He's with Jonathan Taylor coming in at 30% at running back, Cooper Kupp's at 25% at wide receiver. So everybody is paying up for this Cooper Kupp, Jonathan Taylor tandem. And they're going to be locked into certain types of builds. And I am just going to, you know, say that those guys are not going to score 40 points and burn me. And, you know, if they score 25, you don't even have to have them if they score 25 because they're 9K. So I'm going to take my chances there. We talked about, you know, the Chargers-Cincinnati game, you know, Keenan Allen. He's been, you know, Herbert's go-to guy. That's a game that, you know, should be back and forth and high scoring. So Keenan Allen definitely in play there. We mentioned, you know, the Minnesota-Detroit passing stack as leverage off of Alexander Mattison if we get, you know, the Dalvin Cook news and he becomes popular. So I really like Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen both this week against Detroit, because if for whatever reason Minnesota has to throw the ball, I mean, last year in the last game of the year, we saw Detroit push Minnesota and Kirk Cousins through for 400 yards and 3 scores against Detroit. So that ceiling is there for Cousins to smash here, assuming, you know, that he does have to throw the ball a little bit. So I would, you know, I would definitely include a Detroit player if playing that Cousins stack, but I definitely like Jefferson and or Thielen if wanting to get exposure to that game as leverage off Madison. Outside of that, I mean, I can't touch these Seattle guys. They just, the Seattle offense doesn't look right. And while they do have, you know, the ability to explode any week, they also have the ability to absolutely kill you if they don't do anything. I mean, we've seen DK Metcalf had what, 0 targets going into the fourth quarter last week. So that's not something you want to see out of a guy you're going to pay, you know, $6,700 for. And Tyler Lockett's been, you know, definitely the guy for Russ this year. But I mean, we've seen him also score, you know, single digit points as well going back to last year. So definitely two boomer bust guys there in DK and Lockett. And I'm probably not going to have much of them. DeAndre Hopkins is interesting at 6,200, and he's a guy I want to hear your thoughts on playing against a very bad Chicago secondary. It sounds like, you know, Kyler Murray may come back and play this game. DeAndre Hopkins is back practicing, and he may come back and play this game. Assuming Kyler Murray is back, are you going to play DeAndre Hopkins at 6,200?
I mean, it's hard not to. The Chicago secondary has been awful. And I feel like if he's back, as much as he sat out, I would assume that he is pretty much good to go. I mean, obviously, he could always re-injure it. It's a hamstring and soft tissue. But, man, $6,200 DeAndre Hopkins with 30-point upside is really hard to get, you know, to ignore. Though I will say he really hasn't hit it. I mean, week one was, the, you know, he had 26.3, but other than that, and he was a guy that wasn't seeing an incredible target share either over that span. You know, I think he was coming in around 18% target share in those games. So, but at 6,200, it's hard not to at least have some interest in DeAndre Hopkins. So for me, one, I absolutely love Keenan Allen at 7,500. He gets an excellent matchup. He's going to see the majority of Mike Hilton in the slot. He plays that's their main, their cover corner in the slot. And on the season, he is allowing a 76% completion percentage and a 93 passer rating. So absolutely love Keenan Allen. And Keenan Allen is just peppered with targets every game. He has not seen less than double-digit targets since week 6. He saw 11, 13, 11, 13, and 10. Now, I will say, I don't know if he has an incredible ceiling, but I do think that he is somebody that every week, especially with this volume that is in play for a 100-yard bonus, he's hit that since that almost three times. And he's come close. I mean, even week 80 at 77, 104, 98, 112, and 85. It's can he score a touchdown? That's the big question. If he can get in the end zone and score, then he could be in for a really big day because he only has two touchdowns on the year. But regardless, still at that price, matchup considered, it's an excellent spot for Keenan Allen. So if I'm stacking Justin Herbert, I love getting to Keenan Allen at that price at 7,500. I think Deontay Johnson's in play. Baltimore has really struggled to stop the deep ball this year. And I know, you know, Chase Claypool also would probably fit into this bucket. But Deontay has been seeing a lot of deep targets this year. It's not just Chase Claypool, and then Deontay Johnson is just seeing all of those targets, right? And so Deontay Johnson is actually has 17 deep targets, which is 11th most among all wide receivers this year. And he also has 13 red zone targets. So it's there absolutely for them. And like I said, the Baltimore Ravens have given up the most plays of 20-plus yards, and it's really not even close. For them. And so I think Deontay Johnson makes some sense. I don't think he's not somebody you have to stack, but just as kind of a one-off here. I like getting to him. He's only 6,800. I think that's too cheap. I think DK Metcalf could absolutely explode in this game. He's going to the guy he's going to see is Josh Norman. Old ass, crusty ass Josh Norman is going to have to try to stop DK Metcalf. Okay. True. On the season, he is allowed a 65% completion percentage and a 96.4 passer rating. I think that DK Metcalf bounces back in a big way, and I don't think anybody's going to want to play him because of what he just came off of you know, the Monday night game where he didn't do anything, and he's only 6,700. That's incredibly too. He's normally a 7,500 K wide receiver, and you're getting him at a discount of 6,700. And he's right there next to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, and everybody's going to want to play them and not play DK Metcalf. And I love getting the DK Metcalf kind of as that late hammer in games, right? They're playing at that 3 o'clock time slot. So give me DK Metcalf at 6,700. Matchup is incredible. I've already talked about Jalen Waddle, the dude just seeing a ridiculous amount of targets, and his chemistry he has right now with Tua is just off the charts right now. And he's seventh among all wide receivers in targets, seeing a 24% target share. And he's really, especially the last 2 weeks, has really come on against Carolina and the Jets, 20.6 and 28.7. Last week, you had to have him if you wanted to win anything last week because he scored 31 DK points. And I still think he's too cheap as well at that price of 6,400. I think he deserves to be in that 6K range with the amount of targets that he's seeing and his upside. I think Brandon Cooks is in play as well. He is questionable. He didn't practice on Thursday with an illness, so that's something we're going to have to monitor because if he doesn't play, it's going to be really hard for me to get excited about anybody here. But it's such a good matchup because we've talked about how bad Indy's secondary is. But at the same time, it's a great matchup. So if Cooks does play, he's 5,900, and he can absolutely smash that. But Hunter Renfrow, I probably am going to have 100%. Maybe not 100%. That's probably too aggressive, but I'm going to have a lot of Hunter Renfrow because it does not sound like that we are going to have Darren Waller. And Hunter Renfrow is going to get incredible matchups. It doesn't really matter. There's going to be two corners that he sees the most. But on the season, Hunter Renfrow, I was shocked to know that Hunter Renfrow was seventh in yards after the catch on the year with 319, seventh among all wide receivers. And he has 12 red zone targets, which is 14th. And he has a 2.16 yards per out run, about 22% target share. But if Darren Waller's out, I think he's going to see 15. He could realistically see 15 targets. And he's going to see Landon Collins, who's been fucking awful, who's allowed a 67% completion percentage, 400 receiving yards, 6 touchdowns, and 134.2 passer rating. And then you have Kendall Fuller is the other guy he'll see, which has allowed a 71.8% completion percentage, 600 yards receiving, 2 touchdowns and a 98.9 passer rating. Hunter Renfrow is going to destroy those two. Right? And he's only 5,800 in a matchup that he's just going to see a ridiculous target share. Because who the fuck else are they throwing the ball to? Maybe Brian Edwards. Maybe Brian Edwards.
The tight end of the slate, Foster Moreau.
Yeah, I know. He's been the talk of the week. I love Hunter Renfrow. He's incredibly too cheap. I think Christian Kirk is also in a great spot, especially if he comes back. at his price tag. He is only 5,600. He is going to move into the slot, right? So as long as DeAndre Hopkins, you have DeAndre Hopkins on the outside, AJ Green on the other side, they move Christian Kirk into the slot. He's already plays 43% of the snaps from the slot on the season. But the Bears allow the fifth most fantasy points to, or DK points to wide receivers. And he's going to see Xavier Crawford, who allows an 83% completion percentage and 100 passer rating, or Artie fucking Burns, who allows a 61% completion percentage and 137.5 passer rating. So, yes, Christian Kirk, I'm all about that life. And the other guy I want to talk about is Odell Beckham. Finally, they got him involved. 10 targets last week against the Packers. Much better matchup. I think he, at 5,500, he is also just too cheap at what his upside is, what his ceiling can be in another week in this offense. And like I said, they really have to figure out this offense to get this thing back on track. So I can see them continue just to chuck the ball, to use this as a game to kind of get the passing volume okay. And then, are you interested at all in somebody like Van Jefferson, who's only 5,300 in this spot? Or is he more of somebody that you only would use in a game stack?
No, you absolutely can play the Rams. They're one of those offenses. They're just like Tampa Bay, you know, where you can load up the passing attack and not have to stack up anybody on the other side, or play these guys as one-offs. I mean, this absolutely could be a week, you know, where we see lower volume from Stafford and he gets there off of, you know, more efficient deep plays to Van Jefferson and OBJ like we saw last week. And it's a big reason, you know, why I'm not really – you know, thrilled about paying 9K for Cooper Kupp as well, because, you know, Stafford can get there hitting these other guys for deep plays, just like he did last week at Green Bay, and Kupp is left, you know, not doing much. And it just feels like ever since Robert Woods got hurt, Kupp's, you know, his usage and efficiency has just gone down. It's like the offense just has not operated in the same way. I mean, Kupp's volume is still there, but and this is such a good spot, you know, to get right. But I mean, you just have to have so much go right for Cooper Kupp. I mean, he legit has to go for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns to burn you, which absolutely is possible because of his red zone usage. But bet, you know, just banking on having to have a guy score 2 touchdowns to get you there, you know, that's just, you know, a bet I'm just gonna, you know, not make every single time. I don't want to be, you know, have to be rooting for 2 touchdowns just for my guy to reach value. You know, I want to be having a 2 touchdown guy that's, you know, 6K and he's absolutely smashing his price tag. So, and you know, we're not playing Cooper Kupp on a week that he's chalky. You know, Van Jefferson and OBJ are definitely in play, and you know, it's such a good matchup for them to get OBJ going, you know, in a new offense, and you know, it's a good spot to just do something other than target Cooper Kupp over and over and over again. So I really do like the other pieces as well. Another wide receiver I wanted to ask you about as well. If Jalen Hurts were to not play with that ankle injury and Gardner Minshew starts, do you have more interest or less interest in Devontae Smith?
I think you'd have to have more.
More, right? Because they wouldn't just outright run as much with Hurts.
I mean, Gardner Minshew does have the ability to run.
He's not Jalen Hurts, right? Where he's not going to run 14 times in a game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I absolutely think that I kind of want Gardner Minshew to play, because if he plays, I think that's only better news for Miles Sanders, because we know that Gardner Minshew just checks it down to the running back, right? Which is something that Miles Sanders has not had with Jalen Hurts, because Jalen Hurts
very
does not
true
to do that. So I think Gardner Minshew actually helps.
I think he helps the pass game as a whole.
Yes.
Not saying he's a better passer than or quarterback
no. I'm not.
Jalen
I'm not
Hurts.
Saying he's.
Just,
I'm not saying. Yeah, he's not.
They're
going to
do. Yeah, they're going to do something different. They're not just going to run it with. Now it could be. It could mean, you know, that I say I like Devontae Smith more if Minshew plays, you know, in this matchup, but at the same time, they could just run it 35 times with the running backs too, right? Like, we could just see Boston Scott and Miles Sanders combined for 35 carries. Minshew still only throws 25 times.
It's possible, but that's why I said Boston Scott has not practiced at all this week. He missed Wednesday and Thursday. So I'll have to see about tomorrow. Now it's an illness.
What about Howard? Wasn't Howard hurt?
Yeah, he hasn't practiced at all this week either. He has not practiced.
Yeah, so it legit could be the Miles Sanders show.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. And so, but nobody's gonna want to play him. But I honestly think that Gardner Minshew, I think, would be better for this passing offense because he's much more of a pocket passer. He's gonna look to throw.
He's and it's check the Jets. Down.
Yeah, and it's against the Jets. But it would be super. It would be super interesting if Gardner Minshew comes out and just lights it up, you know? Because we've seen Gardner Minshew play well. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that he's like an elite quarterback or anything like that. But his rookie year, I mean, he played pretty damn well, right? And so, or he had his moments anyway, especially earlier on in the year. But so, yeah, I think then that would make Devontae Smith an interesting option. But it would be funny if he comes in and just lights it up. Then, you know, what do you do? I guess you go back to Jalen Hurts, but I don't know.
Yeah.
We've been hearing.
If Minshew were to play, you could legit, and those running backs were to be out, you could play Minshew and Sanders together and get all of the Eagles production and just pay up for all the dudes.
Would you run it back with like Elijah Moore?
I wouldn't even run it back.
Yeah.
I would just bank on Philly scoring 35 points. 5 touchdowns, and you get all 5 of them with the quarterback and the running back.
Yeah, I don't mind.
Now, if one of Scott or Howard is playing, I wouldn't do that because those guys can vulture the touchdowns.
Yes.
But if it's like, you know, just Miles Sanders and a 4th-string running back that's on special teams most of the time, if he comes in, because, I mean, the Jets are the Jets, right? Like, a couple weeks ago, they were giving up 45 points a game. So... Yeah, you don't have to run back a Jet player, and I wouldn't run back a Jet player. But I think that would be very interesting to play Minshew and Sanders if all those running backs are out and get all Eagles points.
Yeah, I mean, a couple other wide receivers, I guess, before we jump over to tight ends. Rashad Bateman, I think, at 4,900 in a matchup against the Steelers. The Steelers' secondary has been really bad this year. So I think he's interesting at his price, depending on how that game goes, and then keep it close. I would have interest in Devontae Parker at 3,900, but I don't think he's going to play this week. They just activated him, I believe, yesterday off of the COVID list. Or not COVID, off of IR. So I don't think he's going to play. But if he did, he's somebody before that injury was seeing a ton of targets in that offense as well. So he's only 3,900. But I can't. We're not going to jump over until we talk about Josh Reynolds, only 3,400, right? He was somebody that we talked about on the Thanksgiving slate last week, and he paid off. You know, he had 3 receptions, 70 yards, and a score. It was weird because in that first, they were hitting deep passes earlier in that game. They hit a deep ball to Josh Reynolds, and then in the second half, it's like, nope, we're done. We're not throwing the ball deep anymore. See, we could throw the ball deep. We're not doing it again. And I don't know. It didn't make any sense. But anyways, $3,400. We know he has that built-in rapport, that built-in chemistry with Jared Goff. So that is obviously a plus. And, you know, I think if you want to play Kirk Cousins and if you wanted to run it back with anybody, I think Josh Reynolds does make a little bit of sense. You know, I guess Jamal Williams would also be one of those guys you could do it with. But Josh Reynolds at $3,400, he's probably going to see a decent amount of targets in this offense, and he has that built-in rapport. Like I said, he's only 3,400. So I think he's an interesting play too as a value play at wide receiver. And then I guess maybe Nico Collins, if you want to get real wild with it, at 3,100.
Yeah, I see. For me, I just can't justify, assuming Daryl Henderson's out, I can't justify playing any of these, you know, cheap guys that may see 3 to 5 targets when I've got Sonny Michel who might get 25 opportunities. So I'm going to be on team, just pay down for Michelle, or, you know, go for a lot of these more mid-range running back wide receiver guys this week, because there's a lot of guys in the 5 to 7K range at both positions that I just don't think you need to, you know, jam in a very, very sketchy $3,500 player on this slate, because everybody's going to play Cooper Kupp and everybody's going to play Jonathan Taylor. And so why, if they're playing those guys, they have to find $3,500 value, right? So why force yourself into playing one of those cheap guys, you know, that may be paired with one of those high dollar guys when, you know, you can be different and get exposure to better ceilings in the mid-range. So that's probably the approach that I'm going to take personally.
I will say this. If I'm going to pay down at wide receiver, I think the two spots that I'm going to go to are Josh Reynolds that I just mentioned. And then I do think if Darren Waller sits, I think Brian Edwards could become interesting at 3,600. I don't know why they do not target Brian Edwards more than they do. It's literally maddening. Anytime they actually target him, he seems to produce, but they just don't ever target him. Like he saw against Kansas City, he had four targets and produced 3 for 88 to score. But then the next 2 weeks, he's only seen one target over the last two games. I don't get it. But regardless, at 3,600, if you're playing a stack, especially with these guys, and I think old Foster Moreau is going to be probably chalky because I'm seeing him everywhere. Everybody's talking about him.
Yeah, he'll be the highest on tight end on the slate, but for good reason. I mean, he's 2,700, which is a good segue. Unless you got anybody else at wide receiver you want to talk about.
No, that's kind of who I wanted to hit on. Really quickly, Derek just hit us with a super chat. Appreciate it, Derek. He says he should have started Pollard instead of Ingram, but had Cowboys defense to make up for Pollard's points. This is what I'll say, Derek. And the next time, if you're going to play the Cowboys defense, I would play the running back with it. Because if you're going to play the defense, you're probably telling yourself that, like just like this game went, that it's kind of like DFS, right? You're trying to correlate your lineup, and it would have made sense to correlate your lineup with Pollard and not Ingram. And especially because I wouldn't have liked Ingram anyway as much, because once Taysom Hill became the starter, you knew that he was not going to see the targets that he saw in previous weeks. So he just wasn't as great of a play against Dallas. We knew Dallas was going to be able to light this offense up. And, of course, Taysom Hill threw four touchdowns. So, that you know, correlating Pollard with the Cowboys offense or defense would have made a lot of sense. So I digress. But appreciate the super chat, Derek. But, you know, Dallas' defense made up for it with a defensive score and four interceptions because Taysom Hill is not a quarterback. Hope you're listening, D-Bro. So, anyways, let's move over to tight end. So, we do not have Travis Kelce. Darren Waller sounds extremely doubtful to play. He has not practiced this week. He's probably doubtful. Mark Andrews is 6K. George Kittle's only 5,900. Kyle Pitts is 5,600. Zach Ertz is 5,400. Gronk, 5,300. Hawkinson is 5,200. Mike Gesicki's 5,100. Dallas Goedert's 4,100. Patty Fry is 4,200. Logan Thomas, only 4K. And I wish Dan Arnold, but he's not. He's on IR. He's only 3,900. But anyway, so it's tied in this week. Do you have any interest in paying up for any of these guys, or is it only would be in a game stack if you were going to pay up for one of these tight ends, or are you paying down?
I've got three guys at three different price points that I'm going to play or be interested in playing on my single entry team. That's Gronk, if I'm paying up, 5,300. Gronk has smashed all year when he's been healthy. 9, 8, 8, 5, and 8 in the full games that he's played for targets. And he scored 9.5 DK points or more in all of those games. So you're looking at double-digit points locked in for Gronk in a matchup against Atlanta. Outside of that, moving down a little bit, Logan Thomas, assuming he plays at 4K against Vegas. And we already mentioned, you know, McKissick's out. So that's just another – you know, safety valve for Heineke to check down to, and that's Logan Thomas at the tight end position, assuming McKissick's out. So I think he's interesting at 4K, especially if you're playing Derek Carr on the other side. And then, not going to overthink it, Foster Moreau, 2,700. He scored 18 fantasy points in the week that Darren Waller already missed once this year. So he is going to pretty much get, you know, this kind of similar workload to what Darren Waller's getting at 2,700. And not saying he is Darren Waller because he's not that big, that fast, and that athletic, but he is a very, very good pass catcher. And we've seen him utilized in the red zone even when Waller's been active. So Foster Moreau, I think I'm just not going to overthink it. I'm just going to play him at 2,700. Because it's not like you're sacrificing at the tight end position, like, unless you get the Gronk week that we got last week, and Gronk absolutely could have caught two touchdowns last week too. And so if you add, you know, 12 points onto his 22 that he scored, you know, you're looking at a 35 point outing out of a tight end. So that's why, you know, I like the idea of paying up for Gronk, because he's probably the one guy that could go for 100 yards and two scores at the tight end position this week. I mean, I guess maybe Kittle, but I mean, we haven't really seen Kittle do that recently. So I just think that the floor at tight end is so low and the ceiling is also low outside of Gronk that, you know, getting Moreau, who's pretty likely to score double digit points without Darren Waller and no Henry Ruggs and all that. So I think 2,700 is, I'm just not going to overthink it.
Why not? What about 2,600 Ryan Griffin?
No.
He does get the best matchup of the slate. He gets the Eagles.
No.
The Eagles are so bad. They allow 19.5 DK points. The next closest is the Raiders at 17.5. So Ryan Griffin, he's seeing four targets a game, you know. He's only 2,600. So, I mean, really, since week 9, 7, 2, 4, and 4 targets. He's running a lot of routes, 28 routes, 33 routes, 27 routes. I mean, I'm just saying.
Half his targets are thrown in the dirt or thrown out of bounds or thrown to the other team.
He's seeing 6.6% of the air yards.
I'm not playing a New York Jet. I went to my boy Keelan Cole last week, and I will not do it again. I've been down that road. Bad things happen when you play New York Jets.
Yeah, I'm not playing Ryan Griffin, but Logan Thomas at 4K is incredibly too cheap. He was limited today, but it sounds like he should be good to go, come back off the injury. He is somebody that we typically see much more expensive than this. I mean, earlier in the year, he was 46, 51, 47, 49.
He doesn't really have a ceiling, but he's got one of the best floors on the slate. I mean, he pretty much scores double-digit fantasy points every single game, and he even just had a touchdown overturned that shouldn't have really been overturned this past week, and he would have scored 13 points.
Yeah, well, and the Raiders are terrible against tight ends as well. Yeah. They've allowed 17.5 DK points to the position. So I definitely think that the Raiders at 4K at his price, his ceiling is pretty high as well, especially if they don't have JD McKissick. I think that hurts a little bit in terms of what they want to do and dumping down to him. And so I think that opens things up for him and even somebody like Terry McLaurin. So I think his price tag at 4K is just too cheap, and I like paying down for that. And then, you know, I'm going to be honest, playing Brevin Jordan last week, and when he scored that touchdown, like, that was one of the rare joys that I had last week. But he's only 2,500. He scored last week. He's somebody that I've kind of been talking about. He now has double-digit DK points in two of the last 4 weeks. He is a rookie tight end, so not a lot of people know who the hell he is. He's 2,500. He gets the Colts. The Colts have been really bad against the tight end as well this year. And so I'm going down that road again. I'm going to play a little bit of Brevin Jordan. He's getting involved. We've been seeing Jordan Atkins become healthy scratches because of Brevin Jordan. He ran the most routes last week with 15. It's not a high number, but he also played 60% of the snaps, which is the most he's played all year. 15 routes in that game. Caught 3 balls, 23 yards and a touchdown. Is seeing red zone targets as well. And he's only 2,500. So, leverage off of Foster.
You're going to be on an island with that one, my friend.
Hey, listen, I was so excited last week with Brevin Jordan because I talked about him, I think, even last week. I didn't talk about him last week because we didn't do a show. But I know I had been talking about him weeks prior. And his usage is going up. It's going up, okay? So, Brevin Jordan. If you're down, and you only got $2,600, $2,500 left in the lineup, just go to your tight end. Lock in Brevin Jordan. And when he scores a tutty this week against the Colts again, thank me later. You know?
And what if he scores a zero?
It's totally possible. that is pretty much a possibility, though, with most tight ends. Right?
It is. Yep.
So at 2,500, I mean, it's hard not to enjoy that. And Jack Doyle as well, coming off his biggest game of the year. But Jack Doyle has quietly, over the last 3 weeks, really gotten more involved. He's seen 5 targets in each of the last 3 weeks as well. He was limited today with a knee, but it sounds like he should be good to go this week. But he's only 3,300 in a matchup against Houston, too, on the other side of that game. So, anyways, I think that's kind of the tight ends that I really want to hit on. Is there anybody else you want to talk about?
Nope, I'm good.
All right. Defenses. We got the Rams at 4K, the Colts at 3,700, Eagles at 36, Bucks at 35, the Cardinals at 34. The Ravens at 34, the Dolphins at 33, the Vikings at 32, the Chargers at 3K, the 49ers at 3K. So let's go down to where we live, and we got the Jaguars at 2,300, the Lions at 23, the Falcons at 24, the Texans at 24. Washington football team at 25 is kind of interesting. The Jets at 25, the Bears at 26, the Seahawks at 27, Giants 27, Raiders 27, Bengals at 28.
I think that defense is easy if Kyler Murray doesn't play. I'm just going to play Chicago at home against Colt McCoy. And if he does play, I'm going to play the ultimate leverage play because the Texans have actually been a respectable pass defense this year. So if they can somehow just bottle that run game, and when I say bottle, I mean don't give up, barely give up 100 yards and a touchdown, to Jonathan Taylor to the point where, if I'm fading him, I need, I need him to not go absolutely nuclear. And if the Texans can just, hold him down a little bit and, keep that pass offense from producing as well, I think they make sense at 2,400. And we've seen Wentz, be very, very careless with the football when he does drop back to pass. So, random things can happen in football and, the Colts are one of the bigger favorites this week, but 2,400 for Houston is probably where I'll end up if Kyler Murray does play in that Arizona game.
Yeah, I mean, Houston as well. I mean, they're top 10, or was that top? What is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, they're 10th in adjusted sack rate on the year as well. So with a 6.5, almost 7% sack rate or adjusted sack rate on the year, too. So I don't mind that one either. Which, I mean, I played a lot of them last week against the Jets because they were only, what were they, 2,300 or something insane last week or something?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't mind that at 2,400. I think that is not a bad spot to be at. I mean, past that, I think the Vikings, because they're not, incredibly expensive at 3,200, if I had the money to get there, the Vikings have been one of the better adjusted sack rate teams in the league. And then the Chargers, I also think would make some sense because the Bengals offensive line is not very good. And we know that the Chargers can get to the quarterback and they've been pretty decent against the pass this year as well. They've been very much of a run funnel defense. So they're only 3,200 the Chargers are only 3K against Cincinnati. So I don't mind that either. I think they're a defense we could target, but other than that, that's kind of where I sit for defenses this week. So if you don't have anybody else to talk about, let's build this lineup. Oh, and by the way, I saw Walido. I saw your comment in here. You said Cole Kmet, 11 targets. Here's the thing. The Cardinals have been fucking excellent against the tight end. They have allowed the fewest DK points to the position this year. Let's go, Uzi. Another NBA DFS hit, 30K.
Jesus, hell yeah. Let's go.
I know. Uzi was talking a couple weeks ago and said that I think he's won like 5 or 6 he's taken down.
That's awesome. Congrats, Uzi.
That's
what I'm talking about. NFL.
Yeah.
No, don't do that. Put some of it on NFL. Withdraw most of it.
So Uzi, I pretty feel like this is tradition. Anytime somebody, you take down if you took it down, whose jersey are you buying?
Yeah, you gotta buy somebody's jersey.
Yeah, I mean that's just tradition. You got to buy a jersey.
That's why I own a Keelan Cole jersey. That's the only reason. Because of preseason DFS. He had like an 84-yard touchdown or something. I was like, I was like, he was 0.00 something percent owned. And I was like, I got to get his jersey.
Well, good for you, Uzi. Good vibes. Yeah. That's good
vibes. That's good vibes. So one of us is going to start taking something down this weekend.
I will make it motherfucking rain. Okay. It'll be Christmas for everybody.
Amen.
Julius Randle basically John is sitting out too.
Oh, yeah, that 5 minutes before lock news, that'll do it.
Yeah, well.
There you go. Get you a Randall jersey.
That's what I'm talking about. Anyway, so where are we starting?
I'm going to assume Henderson's out, and let's go with Sonny Michel.
Derek, let's build this lineup. And I did miss that. I apologize. We will come right back to it, but let's build this lineup real quick, Derek. And we will get that super chat. I apologize, but give us a couple of minutes and we'll be done with this. I'm going to go ahead and lock in Justin Herbert at 6,700.
All right. And then it's an easy stack for me, Keenan Allen. And go ahead and plug in the run back of Joe Mixon. I know you want to.
Yep, that's exactly where my head was at.
All right. I'm going to play my other very cheap guy in Foster Moreau.
So we got him locked in. We got 5K at 51.75 remaining with two wide receivers, a flex, and a DST. Let's just go ahead and figure out where we can go. So I'm just going to go ahead and lock in the Texans. So that leaves 6,100 left with two wide receivers and a flex.
I think it would be dumb to not have any Tampa Bay exposure against Atlanta. So Chris Godwin, 6,600, pretty please.
All right. So we got 5,800 remaining. I can do a lot with this, especially down in this price range. Actually, I'll tell you what. We're going to do something we haven't done, I don't think, all year.
What's that?
I'm going to play three running backs.
Do it.
Oh, do I want to go? I'm trying to decide if I want to go James Conner or Gibson.
My vote would be Gibson between those two.
Let's do that. I'm cool with either one of them. So we got Gibson in the flex. So that leaves you 6K for one wide receiver.
We're going to full stack it.
That's what I was supposed to... All right. So you
might as well. I don't want to play. I mean, Renfro's fine, but if I'm playing Moreau, I need some of that Renfro production to go to Moreau. Even though Moreau is only 2,700.
You could go away from Moreau and go Ryan Griffin, 2,600.
I mean, either Renfro or Williams are fine there. I just side with Williams because we have Herbert at QB.
Yeah, and
if we didn't have Herbert, I would honestly say Renfro there because we would have a Washington Vegas stack with Gibson, Moreau, and Renfro, and that's one of the highest total games of the week. So I'd be cool with that too, but. Since Herbert's our QB, let's go Mike Williams.
That works. So we got Justin Herbert at 6,700, Sonny Michel at 43, Joe Mixon, Keenan Allen, Chris Godwin, Mike Williams, Foster Moreau, Antonio Gibson, and the Texans D with $300 salary remaining. I like this lineup quite a bit. I think it's pretty contrarian. We don't have the Jonathan Taylor or Cooper Kupp in this lineup, and we're targeting one of the top slates, top games, Jesus, on the slate. So, anyways, just like I promised, Derek, let's get back to your super chat. I truly appreciate it. I apologize for missing this. And one of my legs, I traded Waller before he went down, and right before the trade deadline, I traded Thielen for Mark Andrews. My wide receivers are DK, D-Hop, Gallup, Renfro, and Sutton, Van Jefferson, and Gage.
Nice. Sounds like you made the move just at the right time.
Yes, for sure.
Because he got Mark Andrews back in return.
And you already started... Did he say? Oh, I guess he didn't say if he started Gallup.
Yeah, he said he didn't start Pollard, right? He started.
The defense. He sat Pollard.
And he didn't say if he him. Started Gallup.
Derek, Gallup are you a Cowboys fan, Derek? With the Gallup, the Pollard, and the Cowboys D. But no, I think that's good work. Traded Thielen for Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews obviously is the main target for Lamar Jackson. And then, if D-Hop can come back healthy, I mean, this is a really strong wide receiver core, especially with, I mean, Renfro's played very well. Van Jefferson's played well. I think Gage is a decent, flex option, but I don't think with the wide receivers you have. So I don't know who you have at running back, but I think this is a pretty solid lineup at least.
Yeah.
And I don't know
how long can figure it out.
And I don't know how long Darren Waller is going to be out. I mean, it sounds like it's a minor injury because it's not going to fix itself. It's not something that's going to heal itself. So, I don't know. I don't know if this is something they're just going to give him like a week off and see if he can come back, but I don't know. So, I think that was a really smart move for him because, I mean, it's possible that they could end up having to shut him down. I don't know. We'll see on Darren Waller. So, you dodged a bullet on that one.
Yep.
Packers fan. Oh, okay. You're a Packers fan, but Cowboys are my second team. Okay.
It's two good teams to like for fantasy purposes.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to see what happens with Aaron Rodgers next year if he gets the boot or not boot, but he gets the trade. Which there's so many teams. I was thinking about this earlier. There's so many teams that need a quarterback next year. The Raiders are probably going to be in search for a quarterback. The Broncos are going to be looking for a quarterback. The Panthers are going to be looking for a quarterback.
Denver would be nasty if they had a quarterback.
Yeah.
If you put Aaron Rodgers on that team, they're a Super Bowl contender.
But I think Pittsburgh has so many good pieces on that team. If you could put Aaron Rodgers, who we know Aaron Rodgers loves Mike Tomlin. He's talked about how much he loves him as a coach. And you know,
dude, I would love Claypool to play with Aaron Rodgers.
Could you imagine Aaron Rodgers with Claypool, Deontay Johnson, Patty Fry, Najee Harris? Like that offense would be fucking nasty with that.
It would
defense.
Be very good.
And you know, with a healthy TJ Watt, Mika Fitzpatrick,
man, Claypool would break shit if he played with Aaron Rodgers.
I know, and their team is built like so. They're the perfect team that I can see trading for them. Same thing with Denver, because Denver, I mean, their offense is ready made with Jerry Jeudy and Noah Fant and Cortland Sutton. They re-signed Tim Patrick, Javonte Williams. I mean, that offense is going to be great too. And so, I mean, but they're going to be looking for a quarterback. We're going to see what Carolina is going to be looking for a quarterback. I mean, there's so many teams that are looking for a quarterback next year. Get out of here, Waleedo. Rodgers with Tre'Quan Smith, Marcus Callaway, and a little short Humphrey. But we'll have to see, too, because Russell Wilson sounds like he could be – I mean, he may want out finally. He may be done and fed up. His body language does not look like somebody that really is, like, happy with the situation that he's in. It's a shame because, I mean, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. But, you know, it's just they continue to play this. It's been the same team, the same offense for years. Years there. Because Pete Carroll is a fake sharp. He always has been.
Yeah.
And he's rode the coattails of Russell Wilson. And yep. So, I mean, that's been the problem there. But anyways, we're going on too long on this. There's just going to be – this offseason is going to be so much fun. I don't know if you've looked. I mean, there's an incredible amount of wide receivers that are going to be available too. Davante Adams, Chris Godwin, Allen Robinson. I know Allen Robinson doesn't carry the same weight, but I think he's fine. I think this has been a business decision year for him of like, you know, I'm not getting hurt. I'm out of here. I don't want to play in Chicago anymore. You guys forced me to come back. Somebody's going to pick him up next year and be very happy with him and probably get a discount on him. Hello, Kansas City. Brett Veach, if you're listening to this, I know you are. Check him out. But anyways, that being said, this offseason is going to be a lot of fun, but we're not worried about the offseason yet. We still have, you know, what, 5 or 6 weeks left of the regular season. We still have fantasy or NFL playoffs, which is one of my favorite, Tom. Oh, shit. Didn't notice my other lineup is 10th. Good day. If I hit a milli in NFL, I'm taking TFA. Let's go, Uzi. Let's go, Uzi. Hey, good for you, bro. I love seeing people do well, Uzi. And you have, been on a little bit of a heater with NBA. So I so wish I could play. I love playing NBA DFS. It's so much fun to play. But I do not have the time to sit there. And
you have to pay attention to the news and be able to make adjustments when Giannis is ruled out 5 minutes before lock.
Yeah, I just don't have that time. With two kids, one that's only one, I just don't have the time. So hats off to you, Z. Keep crushing. And hey, let's go to Vegas. You know, we could plan a draft party next year. TFA could go. We'll all go out there. Big good time. Well, let's have a great time. You know, rent a suite or something and just live it up. Live it up. I'll be dead by the end of the weekend, but it'll be a lot of fun. So, anyways, Uzi, good for you. Proud to see that. But let's get out of here. Let's wrap this thing up. I appreciate everybody checking out the show. Like I said, jump into the Discord if you're not already. It's absolutely free. Links are in the description below. You can find it on YouTube. You can find it if you listen to this on podcast. Be sure to hit that like and subscribe button for future content. And let's be like Uzi this week. Let's all beak. We're all beaking championships this week. Christmas is only a couple of weeks away. So I hope everybody has a great week. Maddie, let's get back on track. We are going to crush this week. I feel it. I think this lineup that we created is going to be excellent. So let's all have a great week 13. We'll catch you on the next one. We out.
Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down. Tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to. Well, you better get used to the way the war about. I see what you got, inventions and ounces. But that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down. You're a big man. I'll treat you like you're a little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. But that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down. Tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to. Just stop wanting me to be someone else. Be like a book on a shelf that you can be, boy. Yeah, that you can be, little man.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.